Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. The continuation of reconciliation and discussion of Canada's residential school system will take place in Port Hope May 1st with the screening of a documentary detailing the experiences of three Indigenous women. Mary Alderson with the United Church in Port Hope says these talks were important on educating the non-Indigenous population as to what occurred at the church-run, government-funded schools.
Well, it's something very near and dear to my heart. It was produced by the London Conference of the United Church of Canada down in southwestern Ontario, where I used to live. And I actually got to know one of the women that is featured in the film before the film was made. And so to see her up there was really exciting. When I was living in that part of Ontario, I was actually in the village of Grand Bend, where I was a member of the United Church there too, and we had what we called a right relations group, where we were working towards right relations with the Indigenous people. And we got to know this Geraldine Robertson was her name, a lovely lady. She was in her 80s. And she had lived at two residential schools. First, she had been sent to the Mount Elgin School on Munsee Reserve near London, and she was there 2 years. And then they built a new school on her reserve, so she got to go home again. And she was from the Sarnia Reserve, which is now called Omgenon. But when she got back there, sadly, her parents got tuberculosis and her father died and her mother was very ill. And so the Indian agent, who was regularly rounded up kids on the reserve and sent them to residential schools, took her and her younger sister, maybe two younger sisters, and they were put on a train to the Mohawk Institute. Yeah. Yes. Her time there was horrible. She was sent into the principal for straps, and she said this was a minister of the church, and he took delight in strapping them until their hands bled. And she said, according to the residential school rules, he was only supposed to strap each hand two times. Well, he would keep it up and keep it up and keep it up, and her hands would be raw and bleeding by the time he was finished. And she heard whispers from the boys, although the boys and the girls were separated. Girls that had brothers were not allowed to speak to them. Still, the whispers got through the school that they were being molested. They didn't know the name for it at the time or what was going on, but they knew enough to know it wasn't right and it wasn't wanted. The food was awful. The kids were at the first school she was at, she said, the kids were made to work on farms that they had where they grew lovely fresh vegetables, and yet they never got to eat them. They were served porridge, watery porridge, oatmeal, three times a day, and the schools were known as the mush holes because that's all they ate.
Why is the United Church in Port Hope screening the film now, 10 years after the final report came out from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission?
Well, there's still much to be done. There were, I believe it's 98, 94 conclusions in that report. Not very many of them have been accomplished yet.
What are you hoping for comes following the screening of the film?
Two things. Our Truth and Reconciliation Committee, developed a friendship with Alderville United Church. We have visited their church, they have visited our church, and Lisa McDonald, a counselor from Alderville, has opened up the doors of communication, and we have developed a very nice friendship with them. So we don't expect them to be at the screening. For many who have experienced residential schools, or their parents experienced residential schools, because it is generational trauma, they prefer not to talk about it. And that was always the problem, is that once they got out of residential schools, it was so horrible they didn't want to talk about it. The same way if you run into war veterans, they don't want to tell you the stories because it was just so awful. They don't want to relive that. So we're not necessarily, we have notified them that we're doing this and we have invited them, but we also understand if they don't want to come, that's fine. It's to open the eyes of the non-Native population in the community and in Canada that these are very real problems. And also in the video, they talk about the generational problems. It's, you know, you can say, oh, well, we closed the schools, the problem's gone. No, it goes down through the generations. If parents don't know how to be parents because they were never parented, they can't be good parents to their kids, and so on and so on and so on.
So some people may say, and this has been going on since the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings were taking place in the early to mid-2000s, that the church get involved at this level. The churches, to some degree, were very responsible for the treatment of some. Now, I realize that some churches have been a little more progressive in addressing residential schools, having the tough discussions. But some people will say, why is the church still getting involved in a really discussion that maybe should be led by Indigenous people?
Well, we certainly wouldn't hold a discussion without their involvement. I mean, we have invited them. They have come. We've made some good friends there. I will be able to count Lisa McDonald as one of my longtime friends now. We've been back and forth for the past year or two, and, you know, it's been good. So that is important. But I think it's also important to still keep educating our non-Native population, the rest of the country. Just because I hear things people said, you're still worrying about that? Come on, it's all done, it's over with. No, it's not. There's still horrific racism out there, and anything we can do to overcome that, we would like to help in it.
And just a bit of back history, I covered the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in the Yukon from 06 to 2017. So I went through all the whole layers, the national events. One of the things I noticed, and this was at the national event in Inuvik in 2010, that I really noticed was that the United Church was taking more of a proactive stance. They came out early. They said, yes, we recognize what we did. We owned our responsibility, our role in this. What, I guess, have you seen since this whole experience has begun and the transition through reconciliation? What have you seen the church accomplish in that time, since say maybe in the last 15 years?
Well, I think doors have been opened, just as we have done here in Port Hope with Alderville. You know, it's maybe it doesn't look like a lot, but it certainly feels like a lot to me. I grew up next door to Kettle and Stony Point and lived there when Dudley George was shot. So I remember the horrible times we went through at that point in our history here in Ontario. And so fortunately, I could count some friends among the Indigenous people there on that First Nation. And I can see the value in, you know, keeping the doors open.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.